Welcome to the Naked Football Show, and welcome to George Solomon, who's just managed to get here by the skin of his teeth, having got lost, bless him. Studio at icrfm.co.uk if you want to email in during the show, before the show, or any time during the week. And if you want to appear on the show, nakedfooty@yahoo.co.uk. So Town are winning games, no chance for any controversy. Mick McCarthy, what do you reckon?
It's just been too good, isn't it? He's been too nice since he turned up. There's been, we've lost games, but he's sort of been like, it's not my fault, it's Jules' fault, and it's gone swimmingly well.
Well, yeah, but it's the square pegs in square holes at the moment, isn't it? That's starting to show.
It's what we said before, and it's come out of the club as well from a couple of player interviews. What's Mick done then? If the players been asked it, or he's kind of made it simple? That's it. Made a very simple game simple. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Yeah. But then again, you've got... I always liked... I think a lot of people did like something like Lee Martin playing down the middle. He seems much more... But McCarthy seems to have him playing reasonably well wide. Although there are some people that still don't like him because he's... Maybe his end product isn't what it could be, but I thought he played well on Saturday.
Well, that was one of the sad moments of the game, was how Danny Shitter, how, you know, a bloke of that shape and that age managed to clear off the line. Actually did feel gutted for Lee, because he's been deserving a goal with his play the last few weeks. Even when we've been poor, he's been one of the highlights, if there are such things, you know. But yeah, so he's been working hard, and even Mick's managed to get something out of him playing him wide, where he hasn't really been effective when he played wide before.
No, you've just got to hope it's not just the new manager thing, the dead cat bounce, as they call it, haven't you?
Well, that's it.
It could happen.
That's one thing that Mick has been quoted, because Lee Martin's an actual one of the players. There's a handful that, again, the contract situation is going to come up, and it's coming up to January when they can talk to other clubs. And Mick said, oh, I don't want to sign contracts now. If they sign one now, we'll have that initial, oh, I've got a new contract, and then they'll sit, you know, sit on their laurels and just go, well, there you go, I'm sorted now for the next couple of years. And he wants them still hungry and still unsure where they're going to be in the summer.
Yeah.
McCarthy's got quite a good track record with wingers as well. That was a key thing of his Wolves side. You had Kightley and Jarvis.
Yeah.
And I think he possibly has got his idea of a traditional left winger with a left foot. So maybe he's trying to get the best out of Martin at the moment, but if he slides away in January, he won't be too disappointed.
No, he's. I think most Wolves fans still quite liked him, even when they thought it's probably his time was up, simply because his familiarity, isn't it, more than anything?
Speak to most Wolves fans, and they're not jealous, but they're saying, well done, what a coup, especially at the time that we signed, you know, Mick on. There was four or five Championship clubs, arguably all the other ones we were competing with, were in a better position for signing a manager.
Yeah.
And Palace were flying anyway and brought Holloway in. Apart from that, you know, we've certainly got the best one out of the lot.
Yeah, I think so. And Holloway has inherited a reasonably good side anyway.
Yeah, he's doing is maintaining a good start. He's not got a job on, as it were.
No. And that's it, really, wasn't it? It was a win, and a good win.
Well, again, it was the first half even, you know, kind of working for it, but neither team really had the real chances. And, in the second half, we got the second goal nice and comfortably, and that was it, a game over. And
of course, we could have.
It's never game over at 2-0 for Ipswich,
no.
But at parts, you know, even, you know, with 20 minutes left and the fans, the confidence and what that gives the players, the way they've been playing, I think they felt it was over, but without, again, you know, without just kind of sitting back and enjoying it too much, just carried on pressing, carried on keeping the ball and passing it around well.
It could have been a different story if their goal had not been disallowed, though.
Yes, but you still feel confident that you can get something out of games now.
George, I don't suppose you went. You're up in this waste, the frozen waste of Nottingham, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So I wasn't back, but
I did see you at Leicester, I believe.
I went to the Leicester game.
Yeah, I saw you there,
which was the worst performance I've ever seen from a town.
Pretty much, wasn't it? Well, you didn't go to Palace, obviously.
Oh, was that worse, was it?
I'm not sure, actually. I think Leicester was actually worse.
Leicester was bad because we were four down after about 25 minutes.
At Palace, we were actually pretty much on top most of the first half until we let in the goal in the whole deck of cards collapse. But yeah, Leicester, you're probably right, was probably the worst.
I was quite worried at that point.
So was I.
But then I think we won the next game.
Was it Burnley or something? And
yeah,
I can't remember.
It was. And since then, it's been pretty much all good. So I'm no longer worried about sliding out of the league. I think that's all but gone. What are we, 5 points clear of the relegation zone?
We're actually as far away from the bottom club as we are from the playoff positions.
Yeah, the bottom. Yeah, the bottom club. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
and we're five from.
It's a scary stat, and obviously it's only over a handful of games, but Mick McCarthy's game so far, stretched over the course of the season, would be second. That's quite frightening.
Yeah.
To think that, you know, obviously we're doing very well at the moment, but we can do somewhere between, you know, average and where we are at the moment, and we'll still be fine.
Mm.
And, you know, nobody's going to get carried away, nobody's going to say the P word, but we can finish a lot higher than we have the last few seasons.
Pete, what's that from P for plummet?
Well, playoffs, promotion.
Yeah, you know, I know what you mean. I know what you
progress,
mean.
Whatever. But just generally, I think, you know, we've got a good chance. Just finishing top half would be massive for us this season.
Mm.
It's that step forward. Yeah, that belief. Is that progress.
And you're not starting again from sort of 15th, 14th, which is still a big jump to 9th and 8th. But if you get to, if we finish this year 10th, like you're saying, that jump to the playoffs is minimal.
It's psychologically, you know, we could still be as many points, you know, the same distance from playoffs or from promotion, whatever, as we were from bottom three. But when you look at the table and you see where you are, that seems to mean more. Mm. As I say, you know, we're, 5 points ahead of relegation, and we're only, 10 points, or whatever it is, behind.
10.
Yeah, behind the playoffs and what have you. And it's crazy. Another couple of wins and we'll be kind of level, and we'll probably still be bottom half. We'll probably still look like we're struggling.
But this is the classic
psychological.
Well, there was such a gap as well, wasn't there, between us and anywhere out of the bottom three.
That's what's so crazy. You know, you want to say you've progressed and pick up a point on the other teams kind of every set of games, every week or what have you. And we haven't. We've jumped straight out of it, and it is just a case of maintaining it now. We're soon going to get to that point, hopefully, if we keep a decent run going, that a couple of losses, which are going to happen at some point in the season, we're going to lose a couple, that it's not going to stick us straight back in trouble again.
Mm. The trouble is, losing breeds contempt, so to speak, doesn't it? That's not the right word. But and then same with winning. You win a couple of games, however fortunate. It's just it's amazing how form kicks in.
What it is, you know, we're saying this last couple of games, Bolton at half-time, we're like, you know, we're 1-0 down. The goal was deserved from their point of view, but the actual them leading the match wasn't. It was very even, but it was a cracker of a goal. But you felt that if we got a goal back, we'd put them on their heels, and you know, we'd have the confidence. And Millwall again, you know, 1-0, it was still pretty even, and the second goal just killed the game.
Yeah.
And that's the momentum from winning games and from, you know, getting stuff out of games when we weren't winning.
That Bolton game was perhaps the turning point, because to come from behind in the 90th minute to what people have been doing to us all season. And it was our first away win in a couple.
It was the bit part players as well, as it were. You know, the Jets and Chopras. And Murphy's been fantastic the last few games as well.
Oh, I thought Saturday was the best I've seen him play.
Mick's just giving him a fresh leap, you know, at least putting him up top and saying, you know, go on, son, run at people, create stuff. Yeah. You know, even if you can't score, even if you don't, you know, set up the winning goal, you're going to win us free kicks and penalties.
Alongside DJ Campbell, a perfect four for each other, aren't
they? Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. But I can't remember last time we won four penalties, four games in a row.
No, I felt sorry for Murphy because he put the ball away after the penalty was given.
Yes.
Whether the keeper might have made a better effort had he not known it was a penalty. Yes,
that was that bit of luck. That's that little bit of, you know, saying, right, okay, things aren't all against us and we can do this. And then going on from there, now I think Millwall again will be another leap forward, because there was a penalty, yes, but the performance
3-0
was deserved. It really was deserved, and the players will say, well, actually we can do it without having a bit of luck, without having to scrap out, you know, the one goal to beat a team by, you know, three goals and clean sheet. It's fantastic.
Well, that's all too easy and isn't it?
But we had this with Jewell, didn't we, when he took over?
Yeah.
And we had it with Keane.
Well, we even had it with Keane, don't you?
From
you always get a bounce. So, you know, the next few games, we've got some four tough games now, or three tough away games.
Yeah.
So that will probably set us up for a tough Christmas period. But, I mean, Leeds Saturday, and then...
But, the teams below aren't picking up massive points either. Either. They're kind of trading points with each other, or, you know, just not winning as well. So we've got 5 points.
I don't have any worries about us getting sucked back.
You know, even if we lose Saturday and that, you're not going to be straight back in that scrap again. Yeah. And that is important.
Mm. How did the... you went to the AGM yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, yeah.
Let's have a bit of feistiness. What happened?
It's Mick's just the magician, isn't he? Because obviously Mick's made his appearance there, and it relaxed everybody in. It was welcomed, and again, similar to the sports club AGM, there were some toughish questions, but you have to give credit, I suppose, to Simon Cloke. He actually answered them.
Can you give us some ideas what the questions were?
It was the general sort of stuff about about the financial fair play, how that's going to affect the club, and Marcus Evans backing the club, how that's going to change, because the rules now, it means you can't have, you know, your ugly arc who can just pump loads and loads of money in. There's rules how much money the owner can subsidise, and that you have to make, and just generally the way that over the last few years since Marcus taken over, the way the club's felt more distance from the fans, and that, you know, the answer was, you know, they're working hard and that they've done more community work this year than they did 2-3 years ago, and they think it's really important to the fan that the players get out there in the community and do stuff, and that's also another way maybe that they can get some more revenue, more interest in the club. About the academy, and saying that they've actually had the inspectors in to see that we are up to standard for the category that we've elected for, and that was like a 4-day review where they interviewed everybody from Brian Clough right to the academy parents and the academy scholars to make sure everybody knows what's going on. They've employed more staff. They've actually got a porter cabin at the training ground now because they've had to put in a parents' suite.
Oh, bless.
And extra classrooms and what have you.
Nappy changing facilities for the very youngsters.
Well, that's it, exactly. So it's, yeah, it was rather subdued because there's about 600 or different shareholders or something like that, or whatever the number is, and there's only about 100 people turned up last night. So it's one of those things. I think a lot of people are quite happy to attack, but when they're actually faced by Simon Cloke there, you realise it's not as simple and a cut and dried as people saying, you know, why have you sold this player? Why have you done this? And that argument came up again. I mean, Jordan Rhodes was mentioned, as your favourite topic, Graham. But
that's going to be mentioned for the rest of his career.
It will be. Yeah. And again, it was, you know, there was the two answers from that. Simon Cloke was, you know, unfortunately, hindsight's a wonderful thing and everything, and the same thing with appointing managers, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but they felt, you know, at the time you back your manager, they thought they'd chosen the right man in Mr. Keane and they were going to back him, and obviously both scenarios, and Jordan Rhodes is just, you know, a prime example of how Roy Keane didn't work out for the club. Mick McCarthy didn't want to talk about Jordan Rhodes, but when he was asked similar about Connor Wickham, because it was like, well, we've got this academy, we're supposed to be saving money, you know, because of financial fair play, we can't go and spend millions of Marcus's money signing people, so the academy is going to be important. It's like, but he would have sold Connor.
Yeah, well, like, you got 8 million, you know, for Connor Wickham, so he can't.
I think it's 8 million, and he said, you know, that's an absolute steal. You know,
I think people are fine with the Wickham deal generally.
Yeah, I don't think anyone had a problem with that.
But that's the, you know, and that's the two that's two extreme examples. And then you've got the likes of Trotter, who was offered a half deal and elected to go to Millwall and has done okay. I mean, he's not set the world alight, don't
you? I think he's done very well this season, and he scored the odd goal, but when he left, no one was that upset. It was a bit of a shame, but he wasn't
he was still, won't he make it?
I don't think he was at a Higham level, for example.
No, and the Jordan Rhodes one, I know it's your favourite bugbear, but again, at the time, 17-year-old who wasn't going to be playing every week, Roy Keane wanted to sign a first-team player. And although Marcus was supporting him, the only way that he was allowed to sign anybody was to get bodies out of the first team.
I think the annoyance with the
sad thing was,
because he was so young, Jordan, if you want to get him out, just loan him.
That's what we all said, because he was scoring goals for fun at every single level he's played.
He had a couple of loan spells already and done well with them. So it's, that one's going to haunt us for years, isn't it? But this is Simon Cloke's point, and it's something you have to tend to agree with. I mean, he's chief exec, he's working on behalf of Marcus, they pay the wages. They employ who they think is going to be the right man for the job. Now, Roy Keane, people went absolutely mad one way or the other. They thought, oh, it's brilliant, massive name, success at Sunderland, you know, he's the right kind of high-profile man, he's going to do it. And other people like, he can't manage for Toffee, and he's a bully, and it's going to ruin the club. Or, I don't remember too many people shouting that, but those ones said that, well done, because they were right. He did put the club back a few years. Paul Jewell, everybody liked him, everybody thought he's the right sort of Ipswich type man with the way he goes about things, and he'll fit, but he'd been out of the game too long. Now everybody's going raving at Mick, and he's starting off fantastic.
We can't tell
what's going to happen 6 months, a year down the line, and that's from their point of view. Marcus and Simon, when they appoint a manager, they don't have that. They have to go go with their gut feeling. They have to go with what they think.
Do you get the impression, reading between the lines of both Those Were the Days and The Star and Anglian, etc., that maybe Marcus Evans was a bit too stringent with his purse strings when... I'm thinking particularly of maybe like Charlie Austin, when it was probably an extra couple of quid would have sealed the deal.
I read somewhere today that Jewel and Evans met last week.
Yeah, well, this is it.
And they both agreed that they should have spent more money in the summer.
Well, there's two different sides to that as well. There's a player's going to cost you $3 million, a player's going to cost you $5 million. Seems, you know, in the past, Marcus has got a history of, if it's going to cost five, and that's the player we want, he would pay that extra money.
Mm.
But if they don't fit in the wage budget, they don't fit within the business of, you know, of the whole squad, the amount that the manager's got to spend, then that's probably what's let it fall down. If you've got one player that's asking too much money...
Do you think that's Charlie Austin thing?
It's very difficult with the likes of Charlie Austin, because he was in negotiating for so long, and then he goes to Burnley and signs straight away the next day.
It was strange. I think the wage thing is weird, because we let Norris and McCauley go, I think, on wage issues or length of contract issues.
It is, yeah.
But then we then go and have to spend big money on replacements. And it's like the two... it's like the money we spend is very different to the wage budget, and they're not linked. But to me, they should be linked, because... Mm. Surely it's all one pot.
Precisely. From the fact of, you know, that came out again last night, you know, saying about the players that we let go on freebies, and it looks like, you know, possibility of Lee Martin, one of the assets we do have currently, you know, an asset we could sell, we could get some money back if he's not a long-term plan. And again, you have to trust the manager. If he doesn't see Lee Martin as being part of his team long-term, you have to back him. And if he gets a replacement for him who's rubbish, well, that's the way it goes sometimes. I mean, hopefully with Mick it won't be a case of that. Yet so far he's done well, but letting these players go free doesn't seem to bother Marcus.
It's almost like
we'll pay for them, and over those 2 or 3 years of contract, you know, that's it, and we'll just buy somebody new again. It's like buying, you know, a new electrical item every couple of years, rather than, you know,
fixing it, rather than
just renting one, and it doesn't matter, you just get the new model. It's, you know, the way
you're calling Carlos Edwards a used electrical model, because he took a drop in salary, didn't he?
Or like a car in a way, isn't it? It's like buying a brand new car every year, because you're going to save money, because you don't have to MOT it. It's not going to go wrong on you so much, and you don't get any money back at the end of it. You just buy a new one. But I suppose it's better than them trying to get some money back. And
Carlos Lada Edwards.
Yeah, I think so.
He's taken a drop in salary, hasn't he?
Yeah, Scotland did.
And Scotland was happy to...
Well, where is Scotland? Is he out injured, or is he just not in Scotland?
He's still there, isn't he?
Fifth or sixth choice now, isn't he?
So. Should be on loan, though, shouldn't he? You'd have thought.
He'd do a good job. What do you think about Chopra? Because to me, I hope he goes in January.
Yeah, a lot of people do. The weird thing is, though, again, since Mick McCarthy's been here, he seems a different player.
The impression I've been lucky enough to speak to Mick briefly a couple of times, the impression I get is he likes him.
He's your dad, isn't he?
I wouldn't mind. I'd be quite happy with that, actually. But he sees what there is, the positive, the football side, that Michael Chopra is still one of the top strikers in this division when everything's going the right direction, when everything's getting the rubber green, when his head's straight.
But it's not just that. I mean, Jewel was playing him on his own up front and hoiking high balls at him, which is a bit pointless.
Well, I'm going to be a little bit controversial here as well. DJ Campbell scored his first proper goal against Millwall. He scored penalties, and he's kind of...
Chris Rand will be happy with that.
But that proper goal of beating his man to the post and nicking across and sticking in net, doing that striker's instinct, being in the right place at the right time just to you know, taking a shot from a distance or take penalties or whatever.
Although he could
have
been
him away, I'll give him. Yes, yeah. A nice finish.
And had he not been fouled, he would have scored a quite decent goal, which would have required dribbling.
There was another one as well, which was the Edwards run down the centre at home, and he crossed it over and he adjusted his body into some contortion to stick the ball in the net. But it was just that. I mean, but what I'm saying is, from the point of view, is that's all Chopra does do.
Yeah.
Chopra will get you that 89th minute goal when the ball's in the area, loose. I mean, the one that he scored, Chopra, there was no thinking of it. There was no time between or striking and Chopra going for the ball in anticipation that it was going to be spilt by the keeper. it wasn't old, it came to him, hang on, I'll stick my foot for it. He was already running towards the keeper, towards the ball, with it, you know, and he stuck it in the net. He did it away at Watford earlier in the season, he did it at Coventry last year. He's that kind of striker. And now we've got somebody, whether it's Murphy or Barnett, who's going to be playing up front alongside, he's going to get the opportunity to do that, to score goals that strikers score, the ones that win you games, not the ones that pad out a decent 2 or 3 nil.
And of course, if we lose Campbell, then perhaps he'll just slot straight in.
Hopefully, that's the... Well, but even if it's just a stopgap, even if it is there until we find another solution, because people will keep mentioning old players a mix, won't they? Like Silvani, whoever. But he's not a bad replacement for Campbell if Campbell does.
Well, as we said last week, he's always Jett as well. He looks at him as a striker.
Yeah, Jett's come on, I think. Leicester looked very good when he came on, despite the fact we're 6-0 down.
He needs to be involved, doesn't he? So if you're going to be playing as a striker, especially if you've got a partner with you, you have to be involved, don't you?
Playing the team. I mean, Edwards can do a little bit at pace, but nobody else can just stroke the ball past four players.
And he's got a wicked shot, hasn't he?
Like it's on a piece of string there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a little bit of a shot on him as well.
A little bit of a shot. I was impressed with Endor's shot. Trouble is, I start thinking he's listening to the crowd all the time as soon as he gets the ball anywhere near the
box. I'm thinking Endor's got more of the Mark Venus school of, I'm just going to try and batter the players out of the way of the ball, and once they're all in the right way, then it'll get through to the net.
I was very impressed with him on Saturday, I thought.
I've spoken to a few people that have seen him play, and they seriously reckon he is.
He's starting to look classy. Yeah,
his first couple of games, he was a bit unfit. And he just looked like just a lump in the middle of the park, who's difficult to dribble round, but didn't do much else. But now he's getting about putting himself.
We are setting ourselves up for a horrendous fall at Leeds.
I think we are. I think we're going to get battered at Leeds for a while.
Email. This is from our man Slower Ball. Hello, Slower Ball. Yuletide greetings to one and all. Thought you might be interested in my letter to Santa. Dear Santa, loving the show. I've been a very good boy this year and deserve some nice presents as I went to Bloomfield Roads to watch us get gubbed 6-0. As well as an apple, an orange, no tangerines, please, and a toy tractor in my Christmas stocking, I'd like DJ Campbell to sign permanently in January. A pacey left-sided midfielder who can actually beat his man, and for the Tractor Boys to win all of their games throughout the festive period. However, please do not allow Mick McCarthy to win Manager of the Month for December, as this accolade often leads to a drop in form immediately after the gong is received. Do you receive a gong? I think you just bang a gong, don't you?
I think you probably get a little glass something.
Yeah, that's true. P.S. If any of your reindeers phone in sick, please contact Manu Thetis, who I believe is available for seasonal work if there's any going. All the very best to you, Graham, and to your esteemed guests on tonight's show, which surprisingly I'm loving it. Bless Mr. Slowball. So he's talking about a left-sided midfielder.
This is a detriment to maybe to Lee Martin.
Yeah, but if Martin goes, then we'll get one.
I've always been an exponent of the team, of the balance of, you know, parts greater than the whole.
Well, we still haven't. When was the last time we had a proper left winger? We still haven't had one for a while, have we?
No.
I mean, Cervelli was perhaps the last left-footed, left-sided player we had, but he played about 8 games.
We've still got Taylor, who's is going to be like a new signing, isn't he, when he comes back?
Because he can play wide, can't he? I mean, you know, that's why maybe if Campbell doesn't come about and we've got Chopra and we're still looking, there's still the possibility, because Mick didn't, again, last night, said he'll apologise now because we might still have to have loans.
Yeah,
come January or, you know, after January.
Is that what he said last night?
He said, yeah. So he said, you know, because this guy's going back and...
Yeah, this season is...
There's still no guarantees, but that's this season.
Yeah, exactly. This season is a case of just make sure we're safe, solid, get through, and then next summer I'm sure he'll start putting...
But if you've got a system that's working with a Murphy and a Barnett and then a Chopra and Taylor coming back fit.
Yeah, Taylor's very much in that mould, isn't he?
He's another one that will work.
Well, this is one thing we have been missing.
The
pace in the side is what you need, a bit more pace.
That's it. Well, that's the one thing Chopra does lack, is just that he's one of those that's okay with the ball, but his pace without the ball, he doesn't seem to have.
No.
You know, you're not going to put a ball through and...
He's certainly looking more up for it, though, as a player, isn't he? He's looking keen to play.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, from the whole Mick just...
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone's like that, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you look at Jett, he looks up for it, and that's a revelation.
It's just simplifying things, bring it down, saying, right, just go and play football. This is your role, play there on the pitch, this is what you do.
I'm a little bit controversial on the DJ Campbell thing, in that he's 31. Do we really want to get another aging player permanently?
And
it's possibly like the Bullard effect, he comes in on loan, he does well.
Yeah.
Everyone wants him, and
completely with you.
Do we need him? I mean, he's done us. He's got us out of the hole we're in.
Oh yeah, definitely. And he's certainly scored goals. And you know, I'm being a bit critical saying he's not scored strikers' goals. He's got, you know, he's had penalties or what have you. But
he's still a handful of a player, though. He holds the ball well. He gets rid of the ball well. I think I'd be happy to see him here. But as George said, it is a risk, I suppose. But
It is that, again, you know, why everything's now positive and going forward, and then you kind of get yourself on a contract and you settle down. And Mick was saying about the players we've already got here who are already comfortable and settled in the area, that they might get too comfortable. Maybe somebody who's looking for that new start and that new contract, you know, because maybe his days at QPR are numbered or what have you. So he's just looking for, again, tie himself up with a proper contract somewhere else.
Yeah, if we could get him until the end of the season, I think that'd be great. But yeah, I don't think any longer term than that, with Taylor's back, like, as you say, and then a summer, I'm sure Mick's going to do fairly large things next summer.
But that's what Mick's known for. He is known for lower league, but also, you know, those younger players taking the chance.
Talking of which, I was impressed with young Hewitt's
fantastic
cameo.
And I think
admittedly, Mick, he was playing against a side that were pushing forward, so he had acres of room, but he did look rather
good,
classy.
But Mick was itching for the last couple of games. He could tell he wanted, but we haven't been in a position until Saturday to put him on the pitch.
I'm going to have to shut you up, because you're going to have to just a quick prediction for the Leeds game.
We're going to get hammered.
You think so? Yeah, we're all going to agree we'll get hammered.
Probably going to lose 4-0.
Leeds are struggling. I think Warnock's perhaps losing his grip up there.
You could hope so, couldn't you?
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? I'm not that confident, but I think we'll come away 2-2. We'll get a point.
Yeah.
No, I think we will lose. But
do you? Yeah, I think we probably draw, because we can't keep on winning.
No,
it's
exactly.
Just too
that's
good, isn't it?
That's my thought process. But
4-0, right? That'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
Okay. Cool. I presume you're not going now, George, because you've come all the way down to Ipswich now, haven't you? So you're going the wrong way.
Hopefully, going to go to the Villa game,
yeah,
the cup game.
Yeah.
But try and squeeze a couple in over Christmas.
All right, matey. Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks, DJ. Till next week. Good luck at Leeds, boys. Until next week, have a good one, and Merry Christmas. Well, we'll have one more show before Christmas, won't we? But hey-ho! Come on, you Blues.